do want to welcome you again and appreciate you being here and those that are joining us through our online worship. If you are joining us there, we always want to hear from you. If there's something about the service that was meaningful to you, if you would please comment at the same time. If you would register your attendance as well, it helps us in our worship planning. Or if there's prayer requests that you'd like to share with us as a congregation, we're glad to share those with you and pray for it and with you. If you would bow your heads with me, let us pray. Oh God, as we move into a different part of our worship service where we want to engage the scripture lesson that was read, we want to do so with an open heart and an open mind. As always, we trust your Holy Spirit that is able to move, to break into our time and space and in a way that implants the gospel. And the gospel is like a seed that is planted deep into the depths of our souls, and then it grows. And sometimes it grows into a bountiful harvest. And so we pray for that process today, O Lord, whether it be here in this sanctuary or even with those that are at home. If you need our agreement or in whatever way to participate in this, Lord, then our answer is yes. We even if it's to the smallest of degrees, we pray for that today. And we ask it now in your name. Amen. Once a quarter, my brothers and I, we take my father to visit his doctors in Noonan just to get checkups to make sure that everything is okay. And one of the things I've discovered is that whenever I go to a hospital, a different hospital, I always like to check out what the chaplains are doing. They serve in a different capacity than the way I serve. My job is a little more pastoral. Their job is a little more clinical. And so there's things that I might pick up. I might learn from maybe the classes that they offer to either the patients or to the hospital staff. I'm always interested to see what they're doing in their ministries. At the same time, I've discovered, I didn't know I was doing this, sort of just unconsciously doing this, I would walk into the chapels that existed in hospitals and just sneak a peek to see what it looked like, maybe how it was set up. Incidentally, I've noticed that I also do that with churches that I visit. I don't always get to visit churches, at least on a weekend. But if I'm passing through or maybe visiting a friend or a colleague, I'll normally, when I arrive at their church, I'll walk, find my way to their sanctuary just to look and see what their sanctuary looks like compared to what it looks like to ours. And about 70% of the churches have stained glass windows. That's just, now I'm ballparking it. They're not as beautiful as ours, but at least they attempt it, right? So, but they have them. But about 100% of hospital chapels have a stained glass window. Even if they're not located to an outside window, they'll have at least some form of a stained glass window in their chapel. And what I've discovered about the hospital chapels that I've visited throughout the years is there's normally a scene where Jesus is either healing someone, illustrated by maybe Jesus' hands, or he's touching someone. There might be children that are close by, similar to our mosaics. They might have that scene or something close that's on a window, or he's preaching, or he's caring for those. And if it's not, if the inscription on the window doesn't use the Matthew text that Buddy read, I've discovered that passage is at least in the chapel. This idea of "come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, who are carrying heavy burdens, I will give you rest. Take up my yoke and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That is somewhere in that hospital chapel. Such a wonderful promise. The promise from God through Jesus that in Christ, that in times of great hardship or times of great distress, that there's one who is with you. And yet we know, I'm sure you know this. You don't need, maybe, you know, this is not a new passage that we're preaching on this morning. But it's also been my experience that we really don't live with this passage. Actually, the way we operate in life is the opposite of giving burdens to Jesus. It's been my experience that most of us, whenever there's times of great hardship or burdens, we have a tendency to grab it by the bootstraps and then muster up some type of strength or some type of energy or some type of might and just plow through. Just carry on. To take the full weight of things on our shoulders, and we perceive that it's up to us to just continue on. It's normally not until we reach a level to where there's great fatigue and really about to collapse that we then look to Jesus for his comforting hand. Now, strange as it might sound, we're not alone. The people in the days of Jesus, this was how they operated. For many, they didn't want what Jesus offered. Now, we didn't read this in the passage, but if you were to enlarge the scripture lesson to all of Matthew 11, you'll discover that Jesus is in the middle of a preaching ministry. He's traveling around the northern part of the Sea of Galilee. Some of you, a few years ago, when St. Paul took a trip to Israel, we visited these little areas, these little towns, and towns like Chorazin, Capernaum, Bethsaida, and there in Matthew 11, Jesus is going from village to village to village, and he's preaching the gospel of grace, the gospel of good news. And for whatever reason, we don't really know why, but for whatever reason, the leaders of those villages, they didn't want it. Now, it could have been that they didn't perceive any burdens in their life or any great hardships. Maybe their life was okay, or at least that's what they thought, and so there wasn't a need for Jesus. Maybe they didn't want to risk the anger of Rome. We don't know why. We just know that they didn't receive his message, at least the leadership inside of those villages. But there were some who longed for it. Because also in the days of Jesus, there were many who found themselves on the outside looking in, and they were looking in with a multitude of burdens. Some of them were societal burdens, some economic burdens. Chief on the list, religious burdens. In Jesus' day, there are two main groups of religious leaders. You had the Sadducees that consisted of the landowners, the ruling class. Many of the priests of that day belonged to the Sadducees. But for about 200 years before Jesus, there was a rise of what we call the Pharisees. And the Pharisees were not the clergy. They were not the landowners. This is just the laity. And so that both of those groups would vie for power, religiously speaking. And they would put all types of burdens on the average person. I know that's hard to imagine. It's something so foreign for us that inside of a religious group, there could actually be vying sects of leaders that are arguing for which group is the holiest of them all. Now, we don't do that, do we? I mean, but in Jesus' day, that existed. And so they would argue about who's more spiritual, who's more holy, who's more righteous. And it's not just in the days of Jesus, even after Jesus. You could fast forward a couple of decades after, and you get to the Apostle Paul, and Paul visited a place in Turkey, northern Turkey, Galatia. And you know what the argument there was? Who actually performed more righteous works? Because the idea was that the more that I do, then the higher up I must be, or at least the holier I am. Now, I know on one level, whenever we read the scriptures, it's easy for us to be a little judgmental. We're 2,000 years, you know, after the fact. And so we have the ability of hindsight through history to look and say either these guys really, really got it or they didn't. But before we cast too much judgment upon these religious leaders, there does exist, it seemed to me, in every human who has ever sought after God, this struggle between the balance of grace and works. I mean, how do they coexist? I mean, there's part of us that long to come to Jesus just as we are. That hymn that we sing often in this church. If think back to the days of Billy Graham. He closed every revival service, "Just as I am," without one plea. And there's something inside of us that we long for that, to know that we could come to Jesus, come to God just as we are, and know that God is unimpressed with all the games that we play, that He just receives us at face value. And so in our minds, we definitely want that. But yet, there's a part of us that prides ourselves on how we function, what we do. I mean, our world feeds off this, the games we play, and we judge ourselves and other people of either how good we are or how good they are by all the works that we amass. I mean, we say we believe in grace, but the truth is it's really about how we perform. I don't know if you know, but our troop, our scouting troop here, on Thursday, one of the things that they did is they celebrated their 100th Eagle Scout, which is a big achievement if you think about in the history of a scouting group. And for our church, this church through the ministries here with Scouting Ministry has produced over 100 Eagle Scouts. And sometimes I think, spiritually speaking, we want to be an Eagle Scout collecting all the badges, merit badges. And so it's about all the things that we do and the things that we perform or the things that we achieve. And if we can fill up our sash with all these spiritual accomplishments, then in our minds, we think that, boy, we must really be holy. And so we live that way. I mean, why is it that we take the yoke of Christ, which according to His own words in the text, is easy, grace-filled, and we turn it back into something hard, thinking that the more we do, the better we will belong to Him? I mean, how many of you, there's no need to raise the hand, how many of you think that there are all kind of requirements that must be met, rules to follow, burdens to bear, and until those are met or accomplished, then somehow we don't really belong to God? You know, the person next to us, maybe they have more merit badges, but not me. We take the gospel, that's the good news, and we push that to the side because what we really believe in is the gospel of try harder. And that seems to be where we live. You know, it's the reason why when we fail miserably at things that have to deal with grace, like Sabbath, the disciplines like Sabbath or solitude or things of that, where you're on the receiving end instead of the giving end, that's where we really struggle. Because there's something innate in us that doesn't really want to own or receive that. That out of somebody's goodness, they might just give something to us that doesn't come with anything other than reception. There's something inside of us that wants to push against it. It can't be that real. You know, in the ancient world, there were two types of yokes. That is, to carry a burden. or to carry something. One of them was called a single yoke. And the idea is, if you can imagine taking a pole and you put the pole over your shoulders, and maybe you put buckets on each side, and that can be very effective, because just by bearing the load on your shoulders through this single yoke, you could carry things that probably similar to that of what a donkey could carry. I mean, you could harness that. Carry that type of burden, carry that type of load. The problem was, it was only good for short distance. Now, obviously, you could carry more than just holding it in your hands. I mean, the fact that you had that yoke. But you could only go as far as the energy that you had, or the strength to carry. But at some point, the person would have to sit, the person would have to take a break, they would have to take a rest. Helpful, effective, yes, only for a short distance. Single yoke. Now, they had another yoke. It's a shared yoke. So instead of taking a pole or some type of harness and laying it across one person's shoulders, here you would lay it across either two people or maybe two different animals. And it's not that it would double the effort. It actually, the effort exponentially more. And it wasn't just for a short distance. You could go for hours and hours and hours. Because the idea is that the burden was carried with the two persons, or the two animals. And the way it would work is that they would travel together. But when one person became tired or fatigued or couldn't go on, then the burden was carried by the other person, while that person had a lighter load and would walk beside. And then when this person was tired, then the weight transfer would move over here. And then they would carry the burden. So you went back and forth, burden carrying, burden carrying, burden. And carrying, and you could go for hours. Shared yoke. But we are more comfortable with the single yoke. See, we live with the illusion that holiness or righteousness is a single yoke endeavor. The more we carry, the better we are. The more good deeds we perform, the pure thoughts, the blameless lives, the obedience, the rules to follow, the more we do those, then somehow God's going to love us even more. And so we think it's just put it on our back and plow on. The struggle is the moment we can't carry one step further, and it breaks, well, have you ever wondered why so many people can't forgive themselves? You know, we don't have a problem with sins in general, like plural. We're just really good at one or two. And we have a tendency to just do those over and over and over again. And then when we do those, we're ransacked with guilt and with shame. See, if it's only about what we can carry and about what we perform and what we do, well, what happens when you can't do it? How do you forgive that? Forgive yourself. You ever wondered why it's so difficult to forgive another person, particularly when that person, it's not like they're doing all types of things that are hurtful and bad, just one or two things they're really good at. And we can't forgive them. All of that is single yoke mentality. And yet, there's Jesus, standing beside us, waiting to carry the load. Come unto me, all who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. It is not, nor never will it be, about how heavy a burden that you can carry. That's not what matters. What matters is that you are willing to step into a shared yoke. To use different words, to enter into that type of relationship where together the burden is carried. Some burdens are too heavy to carry alone. Last night, there was a wedding in our sanctuary, and the couple, they read, or they had someone read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, particularly that part in the chapter where verse 17 is quoted, and that's that famous verse that says, when anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation, that the old is passed away and the new has come. And the idea is that what's new, that new creation, the new that has come, it's that person and Jesus in a shared yoke. That's what that passage is about. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul is just taking a different picture about a new creation, a new reality, but he's talking about Matthew 11. But why is it we just want a single yoke? Some of you have, every now and then, you'll worship in our 9 o'clock service, which is our contemporary worship. Jake Hess is the worship leader there, and Jake's a phenomenal musician and worship leader, and even if contemporary worship is not your thing, and for some it's not, trust me, but every now and then, to peek your head in there and listen to Jake sing, and just what he does in that service is really phenomenal. And the other day, I was in there preaching, and he actually sang a song that was his song. He wrote it. It's an original song by him. I'm sure he's going to release it here soon. And it's the chorus talks about the moment that someone turns and runs to Jesus. And he said, when that happens, what they normally discover is that Jesus was already running after them, because it's a shared yoke. You don't have to carry the burdens by yourself. And for some of you, you have been carrying them for far too long. Hear his words. Take my yoke, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so perhaps today is the day for you to enter into a shared yoke with him. His burden is light. You walk together. You don't have to carry all these by yourself. Oh God, we, in a way that probably is confounding to you, we take what you offer, and for whatever reason, we have a tendency to think it's about what we do. And so for those here this morning in our sanctuary, or maybe even at home, and who have been wrestling with this whole concept of grace, that grace out of that depth of love can be forgiving, can be welcoming. Lord, just to turn and to run to you and know that you're running after us. Teach us a shared yoke to be able to walk beside you, and to know that you carry our burdens. And the burden we carry is light. For you are gentle and humble in heart, and in you we find rest for our souls. Oh God, this is our prayer, it's our hope, and we ask this in your name. Amen.